So the title of my sermonette today is God's Rubies. So clocks and mechanical watches. I'm looking at Mr. Rank the Older, as we share this, that need to be wound each day to function properly have always been an interest of mine. I had a colleague at the university in Boulder who had an antique grandfather clock in his office, and I always made the point of sitting opposite it while we met so I could study the movement of the pendulum and really just, I was fascinated by how this thing was working. It was well over 80 years old at the time, and so I just really enjoyed it. Pocket watches and wristwatches are even more impressive given the scale in which the watchmaker works to create these masterworks. The most intriguing elements are the points of contact of the watches, and what I'm speaking of specifically is the power source and the regulator of the power. Just like most things in life, you need the power source, and you need some way to deliver that power in a measured, controlled way. So same in a mechanical watch. So I'm talking about the regulator, the mainspring, and what we call the balance wheel, which sends the power out. And these are ultimately tiny, tiny points in which metal-on-metal contact would not really work very long. It would work initially, but would then quickly become eroded with friction and just not work very well. So the watchmakers of old, and this we're talking about centuries now, solved this conundrum by incorporating substances that are even harder and more durable than metals. In a mechanical watch or a clock, these vital points of contact are crafted from rubies. And back in the day, natural rubies and more realistically lab-grown rubies, which are just fine. And they're a part of the sapphire family, if you will, with hardness on the what's called the Mohs scale of 9 out of 10. So pretty hard, really pretty hard. The diamond being the hardest at 10. But a ruby jewel is fashioned in a watch to be a flat, translucent little platter, little tiny platter. So you're looking at it under a microscope or a magnifying device, and it's a little flat, translucent, glimmering point on which the entire mechanism of the watch operates. And without these points, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work for very long. And in very, very old, let's say vintage watches that are being restored by a watchmaker, that's often the point at which failure had occurred. Either that shaft that's touching the ruby or the ruby itself may have become cracked in time. And usually there's a drop of oil. Sometimes that gums up the work. But in a watch, typical watch, 20 or more of these rubies, jewels, became the cornerstone of the vital operation of the watch or the clock. Now, when I think of the true Church of God, I imagine the parts that we all can play as God's rubies in the mechanism of our church. Pivot points, if you will, doing the work that God has ordained. As individuals, if we're not committed to anything of substance, and I'm talking now more generally in life, we know we can drift and really lack dedication and focus. And without constant refinement, now I'm speaking in the spiritual sense, without constant refinement of our faith and our study and our commitment, we eventually begin to wear away, just like that pivot point would. And we're of little help in advancing God's work of preaching the gospel and doing the work that God requires of all of us. However, with study, dedication, and therefore growing wisdom, hopefully, we can fulfill the promise that we all have if we've been called and are willing to do the work. Those little pivot points, you know, once they're selected, they don't necessarily choose to do the work, but that's their job. And just as I just said, that's how that mechanism functions and can be accurate to 3 seconds a day. And it, again, something that is not computer generated or computer focused, but just simply an elegant solution. Accordingly, consider Proverbs 3. And I'm focusing here on verses 13 to 15. Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 15. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, again, we see the rubies mentioned here, referenced, and the scripture is referring to wisdom, and not worldly wisdom, in a sense, not just gaining education, but spiritual, and the wisdom that derives from our obedience to God the Father and his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thinking back in time to the ancient Israelites, perhaps the 12 jewels in Aaron's breastplate as a priest are not simply signifying the 12 tribes of Israel, but also remind Aaron back in the day that he was a representative of his people before God. Now we have this incredible blessing that we no longer need an intermediary with God other than Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now we know wisdom derives from study and dedication. We see this in our studies in school. We see it in our jobs. When we begin a job or a career, we may not have a true sense of all the work that's going to be needed to perfect our craft. But in time, as we stick to it and remain dedicated, we begin to grow in our confidence, our skill, and we can attain, if we stick with it, what's commonly referred to as a journey level competence in whatever we study. That's often related in the fields of craftsmanship, woodworking, and other things like that, that you attain that level of that journey level and you are considered an expert at that point in time. Now, of course, in our spiritual existence, we have to do the very same thing. And I would hold that it's even more important than our careers by far that we remain dedicated to our studies, to refining our skills, our understanding of the Bible, our confidence in navigating the Bible, and relying on it for everything that we're facing. And when we do that and we place ourselves in the arena of life, as often described by Theodore Roosevelt, and several of us have quoted that man in the arena speech. And I used to enjoy that when I worked for the city down in Boulder, that it really described the challenges. But when you put yourself in, and I'm again referring to the spiritual sense, that when you dedicate yourself and you put yourself into the arena and do the work God is requesting of us, the payoff is immense. And we see this in Proverbs 8 and verse 11. I think the point is amplified once again. Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Again, we're talking about wisdom, and again, spiritual wisdom. And going back to that watch mechanism that I began with, those rubies withstand friction and use for years, as we see. Because of their refinement, they became, and still are, the standard of excellence that after hundreds of years still endure. And we know our physical lives on this planet will not last quite as long as even those rubies, perhaps. But if we apply ourselves to the work that God blesses us with the opportunity to do, our lives will have meaning far beyond our jobs, our skills, our talents, and anything we can learn, anything we can do. This concept of wisdom is so important that we see it referenced 30 times or perhaps more in our Bibles. Let's go further and consider the book of Job. And I'm looking at chapter 28 and verses 17 through 19. Again, Job 28, verses 17 through 19. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Now, those rubies start out in their existence as corundum, which is a simple, maybe not so simple, aluminum oxide mineral composed of iron, titanium, vanadium, and chromium. It's interesting because it's naturally translucent, and over time, and as you can imagine, with heat and pressure, we know that with a diamond, it can be refined into the jewel that I've been talking about here, that ruby or that sapphire. And the color, the wonderful colors that we see that God has created depend on the qualities and quantities of those minerals in that composite. And of course, the pressure and the heat. Like these gems that we've been referring to as a metaphor, we've seen their value beyond the beauty and the wisdom that derives from God can transform us into something that contributes to God's plan. And at this time of the season, these days between Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we see we have this opportunity to study, to apply ourselves, to be part of this work, and to use this next period ahead of us as an opportunity to continue to refine ourselves. We can then become God's rubies, refined by the challenges and the trials that we all face. And as we heard last night during our Passover observance, they are there. But again, we have the ultimate blessing in God the Father and Jesus Christ. It's enduring and brilliant. And I'd like to end my sermonette with a foundational scripture, Matthew 7 and verse 24. Somewhat related to the minerals here. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So let's use this time ahead of us now as we rejoice with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and build our future on the rock that's God and his Son, Jesus Christ.